The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today.
We were living a very blessed life.
And we spent a lot of money on our house, new backyard, new furniture, new cars, and at the end of the day, we were empty.
Stay tuned as a successful family living the American dream sells everything to follow their God-sized passion to serve others. They bought an RV and headed out across America to do random acts of kindness. Their daring journey from passion to action, next.
Joined us today because you want to be blessed, and I know you're going to be. I'm Betty Robson. This is James.
Well, we've got a beautiful family here. At least I see the whole family on the cover of this book, Passion to Action. And I want to tell you something, and you're going to, there's a close-up you can see of the entire family. Can you imagine a family in Atlanta, everything's just going great, successful, and all of a sudden, they just decide to sell everything, get in a small RV with all the family. I mean, folks, look at it. There's four kids and mom and dad in a small RV and just take off across the country. To do what? You say, well, they lost their mind. I don't know that I care. No, they didn't lose their mind. They got a commission, a mission from God, the passion to action, to literally go on the road, just go out where people are, meet them where they are, and love them, and talk about love, the source of love and life. It is absolutely amazing. Jay and Beth Lakin and their family, and we'll let them tell us all the kids' names, and they tell the story in this incredible, inspirational book. Would you welcome Jay and Beth to life today? Beth, good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Jay, good to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Which one of you lost your ever-loving mind? I mean, that's what people had to ask.
Yeah,
started this?
I think both of us did. And, you know, it's interesting because we were living in Atlanta, and I was making more money than I'd ever made in the mortgage business. And, you know, I think God had begun to do a work and a stirring in my heart even there. I turned 40 years old, and I kind of started reflecting on my life going, is this all that there is just making money? And we you know, spent a lot of money on our house, new backyard, new furniture, new cars, and at the end of the day, we were empty. And we got away, Beth and I got away for a long weekend and kind of exchanged lives with a couple who lived in Atlanta and started just really praying and going, what should we do? And I had been overseas on some missions trips when I was in college. I spent 3 years in Ireland, had made a real impact on me. And so we decided to go overseas to Africa on a short-term missions trip. Mm-hmm. And we had actually led the first family missions trip that North Point Community Church in Atlanta had ever done. Mm-hmm. And it was powerful, you know, mm-hmm. to see people up close and personal who are in poverty.
Absolutely.
And to smell the poverty. Mm-hmm. But even more importantly, what made the biggest impact on us was the joy and the community that these African people had. I mean, it just blew us away. You know, we went over there with the express purpose, we want to serve them, and we ended up getting impacted as a result, which always happens.
Oh, yeah.
So we came back home to our large house and just laid on the front room floor and just began to weep. And it was at that moment that we realized how poor we were, that we lacked the same joy and community that the African people had. And we knew that we had to act and that we had to do something about, you know, our faith and what the Bible said.
Mm-hmm. And you found those people respond to love, too, didn't you?
Oh, man.
Betty and I have been all over Africa. And you're right. There's more community. There's more love because they're trying to stay alive. They're trying to find life. Now, we can help them find a fuller, more meaningful life. We can help them find spiritual life. But you've got to pursue life to find it. Now, what I'm hearing you say, you came back here and found out all this stuff is not the essence of life. Mm-hmm. We got blessings. But we want to go out. And you took your family. It had to be a shock. And you went out to confront people about life. Am I right about mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. And you were passionate about this kind of action. Mm-hmm. How did you get into this decision? Just same thing happening to you?
Well, first of all, I just have to say thank you so much for what you're doing in Africa, because truly that was the catalyst. Mm-hmm. That was the wake-up call for us. because we were living a very blessed life. The American dream, something many people just spend their entire lives trying to attain. Yet, you know, you get there and it's kind of like Solomon.
They come up empty.
It's meaningless.
Vanity.
And so we realized God did not bestow blessings upon us just to bless ourselves, but to bless others, to make a difference in other people's lives. He didn't give us material wealth. He didn't give us personalities, gifts, skills, and abilities just to hoard it, to make ourselves a big life. And so I think Africa was definitely just what got our attention. And Jay and I had a dream to travel from when we were first married. I had a real difficult upbringing, and when I shared my story with him, which I was terrified to do because anytime I had done that to relationships in the past, they went south because people ran thinking, you know, I was a bundle of problems.
What had happened?
My mother committed suicide when I was 5, and sometimes I can share it like it was just yesterday. And my father struggled to raise 6 kids. I was the youngest, and he battled with alcoholism. And because of the absence and the abandonment of that, there were many types of abuses that were inflicted upon me as a young girl. And so that's just this much. I mean, I continued into a life of sin and self-destructive behavior. And it wasn't until 19 years old that God got a hold of my life in a radical way. And he said, I want to use you. But at the time I thought, there's no way God can use me. I'm a mess. And that's why we do share our story in the book, because we feel like it's critical to let people know that no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, no matter what hang-ups or addictions you still may struggle with, that God is in the business of restoring broken lives. And not just to restore them, but to use them for his glory. Because people can easily look at us and think, you guys have it all together. You've never experienced hardships, or you don't know what it's like. And we go, oh no. Because I brought all those problems into our marriage. Not only had I had a difficult life, I brought that into our marriage, and we had many struggles, and I went through depression and a suicide attempt myself. And so it was a difficult thing. So when Jay and I met and he said, let's travel, and we talked about this, and he said, someday your story is gonna impact thousands. And I couldn't see that at the time. So when we went to Africa and we came back, we revisited this dream, and God had placed this in us, and we knew it was the time, that it was not gonna be someday when our kids were grown and we were retired. It wasn't gonna be for pleasure's sake or for sightseeing, but it was gonna have a purpose. And so, and thankfully, because our kids were in Africa with us, they were experiencing many of the same emotions we were. So it was a family decision. Every time we spoke about it, our children were right there in the midst of it. And so our oldest, who is 17 now, was 13 at the time. And our kids had a voice. We had to hear their fears and concerns and their opinion. We knew this was going to require a change of lifestyle for them and a sacrifice on their part. And it was critical that we were all on board together. So I would say, you know, we were unified in this very much so.
The whole thing's a miracle. I mean, I'm hearing a miracle of God. It is an awesome miracle. So you got the whole family in a small RV and you hit the road. Now, just exactly what difference or impact did you think you were going to make?
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was simple. I mean, we just wanted to go out and serve. I mean, we would read, you know, the book of James and go, okay, the way I'm living my life right now does not match up with Scripture. And it's interesting, one of the guys that we met, that I met actually before we went to Africa, his name's Seven, just the number 7. He's a rough looking guy. He's got a Fu Manchu mustache, shaved head, spent 7 years in prison. When he got out of prison, God called him to go under the bridges and rescue people under the bridges.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me at this 3-day spiritual retreat and he said, son, you're coming under the bridges with me one day. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, yes, Seven, I'll go under the bridges with you. And I'm like, of course, I had no intention to do that. But I was afraid of him, you know? And so we went. When we came back, his words rang in my ear. I'm like, we need to go under the bridges. And we had no clue that 20 minutes from where we lived, there was homeless people living under a bridge who needed God's love displayed to them in tangible ways. Mm-hmm. And what we really have found is that it's important that when we go out and display God's love, that paves the way for a relationship. And then the relationship paves the way for the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we've gotten it backwards, where we try to pound people over the head with the gospel, but what they simply need is just to show God's love to them. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. It was just simple, just go out and serve, and had no idea that it would turn into a nonprofit, that we would write a book, that there'd be a small group study. I mean, none of that. It was just simply to serve. And then we realized that we were not just supposed to serve as a family, but we were to inspire others and then help mobilize people into service.
So you started just right where you live, right where you were in.
We decided to.
I see her question though. Yeah. Right when we got back from Africa, we did. We started in our own neighborhood basically. Yeah. And that's what continued to stir the pot for us to go. Mm-hmm. You know, going overseas, and we are an advocate of that, that's just powerful. It's life changing, but there's also needs right here where we're at. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah.
And well, you became missionaries here. Yeah. And like you said, you saw actually a little bit more expression of life in many ways in Africa and all the hardships than you were seeing in the, let's say, in the midst of what we would call abundance. Yeah. And abundance shouldn't be the problem, but it becomes a problem because it becomes an all-consuming, all-controlling factor rather than something that we enjoy and we're able to bless others with. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I need to know, and by the way, I want to just say this. There's a website. Hmm. They are inspiring other people to take the same kind of journey. And they really want to establish a center where they train others. Not stop doing what they're doing, but show you how you can do it. Hmm. So there's the website. You want to communicate with them. You may see something in this couple. You say, you know what, that needs to be multiplied. I want to feed it. You know, there's a very successful man in the Denver area. This is where they want to start it, named Phil Anschute. This would be a great thing for you to get involved with. It really is. You're the one to say, pass it on, you know, foundation for a better life. Here's a better life. So I'd really recommend this to you. Hello, Phil. How you doing? I'd really recommend it. And seriously, because you're an awesome man. But this is something that there may be someone else who say, well, I only have a little, but you may want to help them do it or you may want to be involved. I want to know, because here we were cutting images in of the family out in moving about and meeting people. Tell me about some of the experiences that were meaningful for you so that now for several years you and the children could keep going because you could see some benefit to the people you're talking to. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so many. So many. I mean,
I know you got a whole book.
Yeah.
On
that. Oh,
by
yeah.
the way, you can read about the so many. But tell us about some of those things that meant a lot to you.
One guy that made a profound impact on me. We went under the bridges. It was a rainy day. My son Noah was with me. He was 5 at the time. We looked up. There he was. He looked like something out of Pirates of the Caribbean. He had slick back hair. He had missing teeth. He had a beer that was about that big in his hand, and he was drunk. And we just began to talk and love on him and handed him a lunch. And as we began to communicate, he looked at me. And I'll never forget his words. He looked me right in the eyes and he said, show me what you say. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there. I was taken back by it. I was like, show me what you say. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, profound words from a drunk guy under the bridge. He was calling me into action. I walked away from that experience thinking,
not in word only, but in deed.
I wondered how many people had said a lot of things to him, but had never followed
How did you interpret
that?
What were you going to do?
Well, I mean, he was really calling us to action. I mean, we hadn't decided to go full time at that point. We were under the bridges that day. And so it was like, wow, we need to do this. We need to demonstrate our faith through action. And then, of course, there's been so many amazing people who are on the front lines of ministry who serve day in and day out tirelessly without any recognition. One guy in particular, his name's Gerald Martinez. He lived in the foothills of Albuquerque, had a successful sign business, made $500,000 a year, and he and his family felt called to go into what was called the war zone of Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. We're talking prostitution, drugs, gunshots. He got chased with cinder blocks, 2x4s with nails in them, beat over the head. And he made a decision.
That's exciting. A lot of people are to go into ministry. I can just see him running up.
That's why he's the hero of faith.
I mean, really inspiring a lot of people.
Exactly. But he and his family were called to live in that community and be incarnational in their life. And what they wanted to love on these people. And it was so cool to walk down the streets with him and see that he's not only the pastor of a Vineyard church there, he's become the pastor of the community. Mm-hmm. They've seen the crime rate come down 50% in the time that they've been there.
Tell us about what has happened to you as a family when you go out and just encounter people that are shocked that you're there.
Well, I think there are definitely some walls up when there's people who are broken and hurting and they see, you know, a family come in. It's usually the kids that disarm them. It's usually when we are huge advocates of people bringing their children and doing this as a family because our kids, really, none of us go with ulterior motives, but I think they know instinctively that children are there for purely for love. They're not doing this because to what it looks like or for the TV camera or anything else. You know, they do it purely out of love, and so that really disarms them because I think there's a trust barrier. Because they maybe have seen people say a lot of things, like Jay said, and not follow through, or they've been promised something, or they've been, you know, shoved the gospel down their throat, and so they're not sure they want to trust you right away. But we have seen that the walls come down.
So you go into a situation that just mm-hmm. looks like there's need, and mm-hmm. you begin to talk to them about God loving them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we typically try to partner with churches. We believe that the church is the tool that God uses to reach people, so we don't want to recreate the wheel. I mean, we want to help be a conduit to bring people into situations and nonprofits that are already doing good work and then help, you know, bring resources and volunteers into what they already have going on.
What I see you doing that I think is so important is you're going out and really revealing the power of love mm-hmm. and identifying need and inspiring people in the community to say, how do we connect with mm-hmm. it? How can we make a difference? But you're also, because see, you immediately started talking about where someone was doing it effectively. Mm-hmm. And now you're passing that on. That's basically what you've also written about in the book. Here's something that works. Mm-hmm. Here's the love that empowers it. Here's the love that undergirds it. For instance, all these people you're talking about who are doing various ministry, or even yourselves now, because you no longer have the business or the job, you've got to be supported by love. People who love you going out and loving the helpless and the overlooked, they've got to enable you. To me, I see you inspiring people that life is bigger than possessions, mm-hmm. that when we possess life, we want to release it mm-hmm. in whatever way we can. And everybody doesn't have to do what you do.
Right.
But everybody's got an assignment. Some people's assignment may be to enable you to effectively do what you do mm. or enable some of these people you see. And then you may be used to inspire people to find their place. I sense that's really what you want to do. Absolutely. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. My brother Brian says that one person's dream is another person's nightmare. And sometimes I've wondered that as we've been on the road. But, you know, we believe that God calls each of us to something unique, that He gives us unique skills, passions, talents, desires, and to use that to bless other people.
Is the purpose of your book to show people ways that they can make a difference if they don't let the world hold them, but they go out into the world to pierce the darkness?
I mean, the book is really our story. It's kind of our journey. We share 10 passion to action challenges in there that really are designed to help, you know, people to think deeper about their lives. And then we share some of our backstory. And then we've written a small group study that's really designed to help empower people.
Yeah, and that's where you've got the little CD and also a workbook. So you're actually trying to equip people mm-hmm. to go out and be mm-hmm. the church rather than just go to church. Mm-hmm. Go out and be expressions mm-hmm. of the life of Christ rather than just going in and listening to messages about it.
Right, you know. And to serve with dignity so that it doesn't create dependency. That's one thing we've learned along the way, that serving with dignity and finding out the skills and abilities of the people you serve,
absolutely.
Having them join you, so it raises their dignity. Mm-hmm. It's not one directional. It's not the haves serving the have-nots.
And well stated.
You know, I used to say that I want to give people in need a hand up and not a hand out. But now I say it's about joining hands with the people that we serve and serving with them.
That's great. You appreciate what God's doing in this incredible family, beautiful couple. I am impressed with Jesus. And let me make something very clear. I think it's really important. The closer you get to God, and this is something I had to learn in some ways the hard way. The closer you get to God, the more you know His heart, the more that's in His heart will be in your heart. But everything in God's heart is not our part. Mm. And see, mm-hmm. I used to try to do everything in His heart, and I nearly killed myself. I didn't even have time for my family, did I? And I really didn't even have time for God after a while. I'm too busy doing what was in His heart, doing the work of God rather than the will of God. What you need to understand when you hear a story like this, it should inspire you to find your part in God's heart. Their part in His heart's not necessarily your part. Your part in God's heart might be helping them do their part, helping us do our part. Because we're called to help many people do what God's called them to do and inspire others. Be sure you understand this. But when you find your part in God's heart, and there's no greater on earth than servant, you serve others. The moment I met this couple, I said, I want to help you do what God wants you to do. That's why I put the website. It's back up there again. You say, I want to know more about it. I may want to help them. I may want to do what they're doing or inspire others. There's the connection point. You've talked about Africa an awful lot. We spent a lot of time in Africa. Mm-hmm. And we have been able to help people all over that continent. And right now, this is the last week mm-hmm. of something, if you've watched this, you're familiar with, that's mission feeding. saving thousands of lives, one life at a time, one person like you, helping put arms of love around as many as possible. Watch closely. My precious wife, Betty, prayed so many years ago, almost 20 years ago, when she saw the food run out and the children crawling down into the barrels and trying to scrape food and saw the panic and desperation. She prayed and she looked out at you and said, "Would you please pray something with us? Pray that the lines to feed these children will always be longer than the line coming to get the food." And Betty, for so many years, I got to be honest with you, only in the last months, and I know there's economic instability and uncertainty. I understand that, and I pray for those of you who are looking for opportunity, and God is the one that will open the way. And God has promised to bless those who are generous, supernaturally, miraculously, and He does. But it's only in recent days now, Betty, that we've actually run out of food. There's two reasons. One, the support is not quite as strong as it has been and must be. And the other thing is the needs are great, just like what's taking place in Somalia, where they're telling us 500,000 could die in the next months. And it's very dangerous. And the missionaries are telling us we're going to have real strong support to continue to go into areas like that and what we've been doing in Sudan and in the hardened areas of Angola and other parts of Africa. Betty, I don't want us to run out. I want to be able to say to the missionaries, you're going to have enough. You're going to have more than enough. That's my prayer.
That's still my prayer. It continues to be. You know, when you're there and you see these children, they stand in line for hours upon hours waiting. The hope, they've been offered hope that there's going to be some nourishment there. We're going to put some soup in their bowl and they're not going to go away hungry, James. But when you do run out to see that one that's next in line, the look in their eyes, the distraught, they're like, where is mine? What happened? And they crawl down in the barrels trying to get the last little scoop up with their little tiny fingers. And the barrels are hot, James, because we have to keep it heated up so that it'll be good nourishment for them. It breaks your heart. I don't want that to happen again, and I know you don't either. I hope you will join with us, and let's keep the barrels full so their little bowls can stay full.
You know, when you have had no hope and all of a sudden you see hope, and then right at the last moment, like Betty said, it disappears. It's not only difficult for that child, it tears at the heart of the missionaries. And it tears at our heart because we're doing our best. And this is the last week. And we need an outpouring of love that is expressed in action. We need your help to meet those needs. And there's a joy in doing it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God gives us strength. When we bless others, we're blessed in doing it. And He blesses those who bless others. There's no question. Would you this last week please dial that number, take your bank card. Please do it now. Make the largest gift you can. A $100 gift enables us to feed 10 children for the next months. 50, we can feed 5. 30, we can feed 3. We're offering the bronze, and this is the last time it'll be offered, to those of you who will help us care for 100 children and feed them and meet their needs. We have the book that Beth has written, her awesome teachings. We have the 90-day Bible. We want to be a blessing to you. Call right now. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make that special gift. Please do it. If you get busy, be determined. Dial until you get through, because we do need your help.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's Mission Feeding Teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
It's really important for Betty and I to let you know this is the last week. And we really do need your help. Please do all you can. If there's any way you can help us feed 100 children for the next months, do it. Help us feed 10. But remember, don't look lightly if you say, James, I can't do much. $30 means an awful lot to 3 children. We're sending you Beth Moore's book, The 90-Day Bible. We'll also send, if you'd like to have it, Passion to Action. Have no idea what you may be inspired to do. This beautiful family that you see. Mm-hmm. They've got passion for action. God's will. We want that for you. Join us saying thanks so much to this incredible couple.
Thank you.
God bless you both. Just keep lifting him up. Thank all of you so much for your help. Thank you for your friendship. Thanks for joining hands with us.
On the other side of a perfect storm, the serpent is all bite and no venom.
Wrecked but not ruined. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.